At this hour, SHOPO officials are meeting with House Speaker Scott Sike about proposed legislation addressing the current secrecy over misconduct cases. We had a conversation with SHOPO head Malcolm Lutu this morning around the principles of HPD, integrity, respect, and fairness. He defended the job of officers, which he called honorable. Lutu has been on the force for 31 years and currently works third watch as a sergeant in the Waikiki District. We asked him about the recent call across the country to defund police budgets.
I think it's ridiculous. We're the ones out there, even with a crisis like this with COVID-19, we're the only ones, we're one of the first responders out there continuing to work, continuing to keep our communities safe. So what are you going to do by defunding us and bringing our staffing lower than what it is now with almost 300 or over 300 short? We're already working as hard as we can, and by defunding us and directing money, you know, elsewhere, you're going to have a problem. Once we get back to the new normal, so to speak.
Well, the chief seems to support, rather than defunding, having taxpayers put more money towards social services.
I think it should be, but I don't think they should take the money away from our police budget. They should create something or find monies otherwise. We do need some social services to help the homeless and everything else that's going on that we are dealing with that and we never had to deal with before when I first joined the department. It is out of hand.
There's a push for more transparency. There is a bill at the legislature that some hope will get off the ground that calls for more transparency when it comes to disciplining officers, that the public has a right to know what's involved here.
How it stands now, the public record-wise, our names, if we are fired after we grieve and go to the grievance process and fail, that is public record. If the officer is arrested, that is public record. So, you know, what they're asking for in this bill, any discipline. And majority of our discipline are administrative. So it's basically us making mistakes at work administratively, like turning in late reports, like the chief said, you know, messing up on our mileage slips with the guys that, you know, the motorized officers, or even like coming late to work. We have discipline and, you know, a lot of administrative rules that the officer makes mistakes, and that could result in discipline. That could lead to our officers' names being published or made public. Is that necessary? No.
What about serious misconduct?
Serious misconduct, yes. If they get terminated, then that would become record after the officer exhausts his grievance process. But there's a lot of times that, you know, SHOPO, we don't condone bad behavior. There's a lot of cases that we don't represent. For one, we don't represent criminal cases. Once the officer does something criminally, he has to take care of that himself in the court system. There's a lot of officers that do administrative wrong, and there are, you know, bad ones. And there's a lot of officers probably going through the termination process at this moment. SHOPO doesn't always grieve an officer's wrongdoing. If he's wrong, he's wrong. We won't spend money on an officer knowing that we're going to lose an officer is basically wrong. So that's what the public needs to know also. We don't fight for every officer. If the officer is wrong, basically he's going to face the consequences with the discipline on his own.
There are some who say that what happened in Minneapolis, the release of those officers' names, wouldn't happen here because of our laws.
No, they would. And when you think about it, they all got arrested. Everything would be public record.
What do you say to people who just want more transparency for government workers, whether you're a police officer or a janitor or a teacher?
Well, I think with us, I think it's not fair, because once you put our names into the paper, it's like the person is proven guilty, is guilty until proven innocent. You know what I mean? So why put it's embarrassment for the families of the officer. It could be dangerous too. And we had retaliation on our officers before.
Let's talk about the difficulty of speaking up. When a good cop sees bad behavior, whether it's his partner or his boss, and feels he needs to say something, you know, there's that code of silence, the wall of silence, you know, that we hear about.
Well, I think that that generation has passed. I mean, we've seen it already, where Chief Ballard handed over names of some officers that were involved with that tort, you know, the urinal licking one.
Yes.
So that was generated by an officer. So I think that those types of actions that people think about, I don't think it exists today. I think our officers are smarter. They know the consequences, and they are speaking up.
And you think there are enough protections for officers like that who are going to say, I'm not going to stand for this?
I think normally the public thinks that there's a lot of retaliation against a whistleblower, that basically that's what it is. And no, I think that's in the movies. We don't see it here in Hawaii. Maybe it might happen in other departments on the mainland, but it's just a different culture here. And you know, the officers are a lot, you know, likely to say something than like in the past.
Well, we just had this major scandal with our police chief, former Chief Kealoha, and his wife, and the concern that people had that there was a misuse of power. And someone should have said something in that elite force.
I think that whole thing had a lot of people duped, including myself, because there was one, you know, we all knew a certain story, but when they actually came out in federal court, it was totally different from what certainly, you know, a bunch of us thought we knew. So that's something different. I think, you know, however they pulled it off, everybody was... I think they were duped of the stories that was going on and how everything was happening.
That what you felt, what, betrayed by the chief?
I think by the you know, basically his wife. We were under a certain impression, and you know, when everything finally came out, you know, it was something different that we thought we knew, and we, you know, it turned out totally different. Everybody, even the administrators and probably the police commission, were probably on the same page as a bunch of the people that kind of thought they knew stuff about what was happening with that case.
And let's talk about the police commission for a second, because there are calls for more transparency and more authority over, you know, what the chief in the department can or can't do. And we did have two high-profile members step down because they felt that that wasn't going to happen.
My opinion with the police commission that they have a job to do. It's unfortunate that the Loretto and the judge...
Judge Levinson.
Mm-hmm. Stepped down. But I believe the two new appointees, we're familiar with Doug. I never really met the judge Broderick yet.
Oh, you're talking about appointment
the new
of...
ones.
The nomination of Doug Chin, former Attorney General, and Mike Broderick.
Yes. So I think they're, you know, we just got to wait and see how that turns out. But we would like to have the mayor ask us on our opinion also on his selection of the two individuals that he appointed. You know, it would be nice to have somebody on the board that know what our officers go through every day.
Well, there are some people... that think that Shopo has too much power.
Politically, we endorse our candidates that we believe that can help our members. But as far as too much power, I don't think so. I think we're just representing our members, and the laws are in place right now, and we're just following what we have to do, whether it be the 92F.
And 92F
is the release our officer's name that's in place now.
The call for putting a pause on those neck restraints, where does Shopo sit with that?
It's sad anytime they take a tool or a technique away from our officers. But I think on the road-wise, I don't know what the stats are, but I don't know if it's how many officers actually use it. I know our receiving disc probably uses it. We're trying to get the stats on that now because our officers that intake our prisoners, they have no weapons. They have no tools. They just... basically, it's just them. So I think as far as stuff on the road, I don't know. We're trying to figure out how many people actually used it. I kind of heard there was like five.
Five in the past year? Or?
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, it depends. I think we got so many other tools that we have on our belt, and we have options to use that. it takes a certain situation for officers up close and personal to actually use that technique.
You mentioned that you will be meeting with the House Speaker Scott Psyche later today.
Yes, so they called. We sent the opposition letter last week, and I guess that's the reason why he's calling to talk. So
opposition to the bill.
To the bill. He probably wants to see talk to us in person and see why we're opposing that HB. And then that would give us a time to explain our side, too.
Do you feel, though, that maybe SHPO needs to give in some areas, just given the climate?
I think with the job that we do, I think how the law is right now, it protects our officers from anything. You know, what other job can you do when you're not working, you can get fired? We can. We abide by the standards of conduct for our department, and that's 24/7. Officers have been fired for conduct off duty.
We are just coming off of a terrible situation where we had two of our officers killed in the line of duty, and it was someone who was suffering from, I think, some mental illness, which goes back to Ballard's call for having more money go toward that.
How can 6 months ago our officers were hailed as heroes because of that incident that happened near Diamond Head, and then now we're going through stuff that we're getting vilified by the public or the small vocal minority about our conduct. This is the small vocal minority, especially in Hawaii. We have nothing to do with what happened in the mainland. We don't condone what happened in the mainland. But this is Hawaii. It's a different culture. Our police department is different from any other department in the nation. We don't understand why all of a sudden these politicians need to react to what's happening on the mainland when it doesn't affect us. We don't see that discrimination here. We're hoping that we still have the respect from the public like we do. And I still see it. It's just that the people that support us, they're not going out marching. Nobody's marching for us, but we know that they still support us because we still get the waves, we still get the thank yous as we work every day. But it's just that the sad part is everybody's bending to these vocal minorities and putting us in a position that, you know, we don't deserve.
Lutu also believes the calls to defund the police aren't helping recruitment. As we heard from Chief Ballard, the police force is said to be facing a shortage of more than 300 officers. Lutu wants to thank the community for its support in the past, as well as its recent generosity following the shooting of Officer Tiffany Enriquez and Kauliki Kalama. The public responded with an outpouring of more than $400,000 for the children of those two officers killed at Diamond Head. The community just learned also this weekend that the 34-year-old widow of slain Officer Kalama, Ka'ohinani Kalama, died on Saturday from an undisclosed illness. She leaves behind the couple's 14-year-old son. Officer Enriquez, who was a single mother, leaves behind three daughters. SHPO will split the donations between the two families.